The other day, Joe Buck put on Twitter that he would be willing to call play-by-play for anybody that wanted their life called. And so, you know, once he put it up, the response was unbelievable. And so he, and we will call him right now. Joe is awaiting our call as we speak. But he got so many responses, and Fox Sports has put together this the videos of him calling play-by-play. And a marble race was unbelievable. The turquoise marble race that we heard at the top of the show was remarkable.
Yeah, Comet really did. Comet now is a household name. You know, that is the marble that, I mean, what a comeback story in general. Front runner goes to the back. Either way, these have been a lot of fun. And the thing, and Joe, I'm sure he understands this. He gets it. But what he's doing right now, first of all, it's just a great... It's something different, man. It's a breath of fresh air. And honestly, he's making these people's like lives, you know, getting an opportunity to have Joe Buck be the soundtrack of their events.
Joe Buck is with us now on 101 ESPN, Ronj, BT, and Randy. And thanks for joining us today from home. How you doing?
I'm good. I can't talk long. I've got a lot of videos to do. I've got a lot of people's days to make. I've got a lot of people's quarantine to smile upon. I'm doing good. I'm doing fine. And man, it's so nice. It's just what a difference in mood good weather can make. And good weather has made all the difference in this house today.
That's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing. Hey, when you threw this out on Twitter, I'm sure you had to know that it was going to blow up. Did you realize how many videos that you were going to get, though?
I had no idea. And to be honest, I didn't really know that it would blow up. I think that's kind of where some of these things happen when they're organic. And it was done for the right reasons. I was talking to my boss, Eric Shanks, last week, and he said, you know, why don't you just start doing some videos just to stay sharp. And I thought about it over the weekend and then just threw it out there and added to it and said, if we're going to do it, then let's at least raise some money for people who need it, because as you guys I'm sure have talked about quite a bit, and I think about, my wife and I talk about all the time, you know, the poor people that are in the service industry or, you know, depending on the next paycheck and going paycheck to paycheck, this is a frightening time. So if I can do 25 or 40 seconds of somebody's video and they'll end up turning around and making a donation somewhere that makes a difference, then, you know, it seems to make a lot of sense.
After having called World Series and Super Bowls, it has to be at least somewhat more difficult to call a guy playing basketball with his son in the living room and swatting the ball back into the kid's face. That has to be somewhat more difficult.
You have to think about it a little bit. You know, I'm just used to kind of seeing it and reacting. And I think, you know, these require a second of thought, but I don't want to make them feel scripted. I do want to kind of react naturally to what I'm seeing. So I'll watch it once, maybe twice, and then just do it. And I think the bigger pitfall for me is just trying not to be a smartass and trying not to, you know, take it over the line. I think, you know, my sense of humor gets a little dark sometimes if you ask my friends, and trying to keep it undark has been the challenge really to this point.
Joe, there hasn't been a better time for Gallo's humor than now.
Yeah, but Gallo's humor has gotten many a person fired over the years. So I'm
point.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
You can't pull off the Bob Menery with what you do for a living, can you?
No, I got to know him, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, and he's, you know, Bob is very full of confidence, and he said, you know, I'm the best broadcaster in the country. And I said, well, you know, yeah, but you're doing taped stuff that you've basically seen 100 times and you've written a script to, and it's really funny, and it definitely has its own niche, but, you know, doing a live event is an entirely different thing altogether. So I'll leave going forward after this is all over. I'll leave the taped pieces to Bob, and I'll do the live
stuff. That's a good call.
And you can never go wrong if you want to just have fun and do bright, fun humor. You can never go wrong with kids and animals, and that's mostly what you're getting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you end up finding out a lot. You do find out how proud parents are of their kids. You find out that pretty much everybody around their house, no matter what the house looks like or how big it is, everybody's doing the same thing, trying to entertain their kids or having their kids entertain them. And on top of that, you know, animals bring a smile to everybody's face. And it's I was talking about this with my sister, Randy, today. It kind of reminds me of back in the day at, let's say, another radio station on the AM side.
KMOX, we can say it. We mention them all the time.
KMOX that my dad was synonymous with, and like whether it's the Christmas morning program we used to do, or you know, even his call-in shows, or hosting the Carney Show, or the great Jack Carney. You know, there's a relationship that develops, and I think people, when they're isolated like this, just want to reach out and connect with people. And this is a small way of doing it, but it is kind of a throwback. I know it's Twitter and it's social media and it's 2020, but there's kind of elements of life right now that feels like it's almost 1950s, with people actually sitting down, having dinner, interacting, looking at people in the eyes. And there are some silver linings, albeit while people are fighting for their lives, and anybody that's doing that, our hearts go out to them. And we hope that, you know, that it curtails itself, and that bump they keep talking about starts to flatten.
And Joe, when you wrote your book, you talked about how you wanted, for lack of a better term, you wanted people to know that you're a relatable person. And this provides another outlet for that. And obviously the circumstances aren't circumstances that anybody wants, but like you said, right off the top, you are making people's day by calling their lives with your play-by-play.
Yeah, and it's just something simple. But you're right. I mean, I could make it a selfish thing and say, you know, it allows me to show my personality and my sense of humor while doing play-by-play for things that are irrelevant. I mean, you know, when you're doing a World Series, and I watched a lot of 2011 Game 6 the other night on YouTube just to go back and watch some of it, and you know, that stuff feels, at the time at least, you know, like your heart's in your throat and it's life and death for anybody who cares to watch. And, you know, that's certainly not the case with two dogs tugging on a stick.
Hey,
which was
about,
magnificent.
Who doesn't like that?
Those were Mina Kimes' dogs. And they were
It was Mina Kimes. And then, of course, you know, as only the internet can do. And I'll say this as a follow-up. To what we just talked about, you know, the social media, we've talked many times, can, when you're the national guy and you show up, it can be very unkind, let's say. And this has kind of shown me a different side of social media, which has been, you know, really fun to see. And it's kind of taken on a really genuine, good-hearted feel where people, you know, it's not dark humor, it's not dirty, it's just simple stuff that people seem to like to watch.
Just wait a couple months, we'll get back to normal.
Oh yeah, all the stuff. The minute I tell somebody their team just lost the World Series, I'll get an avalanche of "you hate my team." But until then, I'll keep doing dogs pulling on a stick.
Enjoy those moments. Hey, I want to go back to what you were talking about, saying rewatching games from the World Series and being in those moments again. Can you enjoy those moments, or do you end up just critiquing yourself on work you've done in the past?
I can now, because there's been enough time where if I go back now and I watch Game 7 of the 2019 World Series, it's still relatively fresh in my mind, I guess. I mean, maybe it isn't. But if it's a week after or a month after, I don't give it a fair shot, because I'm watching it knowing what I was thinking at the time. I'm watching it knowing what I wanted to get in. I'm watching it frustrated that I didn't do this or didn't do that. And when there's been enough time, like 2011 being – you know, 9 years ago or 8.5 years ago, there's a freshness to it that it's almost like watching somebody else do it. And that's when you can really critique yourself, and you can go, hey, if I'm sitting on the couch, what do I like about this? What do I not like about this? And there are answers to both questions, but I think that's the best way to critique your stuff if you've done it long enough. You know, I went back, my mom was on the couch with our kids the other day, and I watched Game 1 in our on-camera, the 1996 World Series in New York at Yankee Stadium, and I was 27, and I remember how I felt at the time, but I don't remember the specifics of the game. And I watched it and I went, man, you know, as a 27-year-old on a big stage for the first time, I was actually impressed that I handled it the way I did, knowing now how I felt back then. So it's a little bit of time does a lot of good to that.
And so going back to something you said just a little bit ago, now that you've had this downtime like we all have you thought about why you hate everybody's team?
Yeah, because it's just more fun that way.
Okay.
In St. Louis, people, I think, expect me to be my dad. And they expect me to say, go crazy, folks, go crazy, when Ozzy hits a home run. But that's not my job. And, you know, I think the sophisticated fan or the one that's not involved emotionally understands that. But when you're living and dying with every pitch and you hear somebody do the game, I mean, I went through that last year during the Stanley Cup Finals where I'm, you know, I want John Kelly and Darren Pang to do the game. As much as I think Doc's great and I'm really close with Kenny Albert, they do a great job, but you want to hear the familiar voices who have the same rooting interest that you do. I don't root. I don't care who wins, and that's not part of my job. But fans don't think that way, and they don't hear it that way all season long. So consequently, the national guy always gets charged with it. Scully did. My dad talked about it when he did it for 2 years. It's not a fun position to be in, but it's either that or don't do it.
Joe Buck with us in the Fast Lane, and you need to see the stuff that he's doing on Twitter. Just follow him on Twitter at Buck, and you'll see the great videos that he's doing play by play for. I want to go back to Game 6 because MLB Network showed that last week when everything shut down. That was one of the first things they showed. And Joe, as time passes and I detach myself from that night, what an unbelievable baseball game that was.
It's the best game I've ever seen. It's the best game. Forget, first of all, I guess you can't forget that the Cardinals were up against it, and that's what adds to it. But, you know, three times they were facing it. They ended up winning on the third chance, but I think, was it the 9th, 10th, and then the 11th they won it? But they were down to their final strike a couple of times. First it was Freeze, then it was Berkman, and then Freeze, I think on a 3-2 pitch, hits a home run to dead center field. And like I said to La Russa the next night when we all walked in there at 4 o'clock or 3:30 the next day, and he was right. He said, you know, for as great as that game was, if we don't win tonight, nobody will ever really care about it. And it's true. If the Cardinals don't go on to win Game 7, Game 6 was a hell of a game, but it just has the extra dimension to know that that's what got him a ring. And that's, yeah, that game was crazy. And you can watch it over and over again, know how it ends, and still you can't believe how it ends.
Joe, what about football? Do you have one that sticks with you, whether it be a Super Bowl or just a game that you did, a best football game that you've been on the call for?
I've been a part of a couple of walk-off moments, which you rarely get in the NFL. The Stephon Diggs one with the Vikings hosting the Saints a couple of years ago in Minnesota where, you know, you expect mm-hmm. Diggs to make the catch and hop out of bounds, and instead he turns around and nobody's there, and he takes it in for the touchdown. There was a crazy game, the Packers at the Seahawks in the NFC Champ game that the Seahawks won on a walk-off touchdown after coming back against every odd possible. You know, those are the ones that stick out to me other than Super Bowls, which, you know, kind of they're in their own category.
So we are in this waiting period now of wondering what's going to happen with all of the sports and when they're going to return. And nobody really seems to know anything because we don't know when this virus is going to start to fade away. If Major League Baseball goes to the idea, and we were talking about it earlier, Ken Rosenthal reporting it, of you know, playing World Series games or playoff games all the way into November, how would you like to see this play out? If they're not able to do a full season and the idea of multiple doubleheaders possibly per week?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really sat down and thought about it in those terms. I feel like if you had half the season, I still feel like you could probably feel good about saying, okay, these are the best teams if you had 81 games. Now, granted, Kenny wrote about this the other day. If you shut it down at that moment, the Nationals, who were the reigning world champions, wouldn't have even made the playoffs. So, yeah, it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be a full slate of games. But, you know, doubleheader after doubleheader after doubleheader seems like kind of a crazy notion, at least to me, as somebody who hasn't really thought about it that much. But when you consider, I mean, they'd have to do stuff with the roster. They'd have to do stuff with making minor league players more available in the bullpen with that kind of taxation on a bullpen. I don't know. And I don't know why you have to go deep into November, and then that would lead you to possibly having it at a neutral site, which I think is cool in theory, but I don't know how much baseball fans are willing to travel in November if it's a franchise that's been there over and over again to Miami or Texas or wherever they would have it. So I personally would aim for mid end of June if it's possible, and who knows, and then kind of ramp it up at the All-Star break, at the All-Star game, and go from there and kind of do it business as usual the rest of the way.
Joe Buck has a birthday next month, but his twin boys also have birthdays. They're going to be two. You mentioned the weather at the top. I would hope that those two got outside. They must have been just full of energy.
Yeah, well, when you guys were calling me, I had just gotten inside. We've been outside for the last 2 hours. So it's been, you know, it has been a jailbreak here today with the kind of weather that we've had. So they were outside. We were on the swings. We were on the slide. We were in the backyard, which is basically a swamp. And their mom is cleaning them off as I'm talking to you.
And she got smacked by one of them. That was the first video the other day.
Yeah, that's the one that kind of started it all. And maybe that was a sign of good things. Obviously, she played it up. It was a less than two-year-old having a temper tantrum. But I didn't know he was going to do that. It's not like we planned that out. So, yeah, he did it. I called it. And I put that up. And everybody seemed to latch on to it.
By the way, do you enjoy the aspect? Because I do. My kids are 6 and 4 now. I love the fact that I get to play with all these things that I used to like play with in the past, and like that's going to keep going for you. Obviously, do you love like being a kid again?
I do. And the beautiful part of it is my daughters are both home. Trudy, who is doing classes, online classes at USC right now. She's in one category, but Natalie, my oldest, who's out of school and trying to act and doing some things, is back home, and she was over all day. So all the That's things cool. that I said we did, I'm doing with my 23-year-old daughter and my almost 2-year-old sons. And to see them interact and to see them, you know, just run up and give her a hug and a kiss and knowing, you know, the history of all this and how they came to be and, you know, having gone through divorce and all these other things, it's just if that it just melts Michelle and me every day seeing them do their thing. But yeah, being on the swings, going down the swings, although I'm about to turn 51, it's not that easy to jump slides and get down on all fours and do what I'm really contractually bound to do as a father these days, but I'm going to give it my best.
And one thing about Joe, knowing Joe for as long as I have, and it's with your daughters and the way you've set up your career, it's been all about being home with your kids. So even though this isn't idyllic in terms of why you're home, this is why you have your contract set up the way you do, so that you can spend as much time with your kids as possible.
Well, the irony of it is everybody's got their own story, but this is the one time when I'm off. This is the time when I'm usually doing exactly what I'm doing. So, you know, part of it is I guess familiar. The unfamiliar part of it is, you know, all the updates and watching the news channels and trying to watch a nation figure out how to handle this, watch a world figure out how to handle this and get on the other side of it. But yeah, people always are like, you know, are you ever home and do you ever see your kids? And I remember the first go around because I'm not 9 to 5. When I'm home, I'm home. I can read at night. I can do stuff when they go to bed. And then when I leave, yeah, I'm gone. And if I'm gone a lot, I'll bring them with me. But for the most part, you know, I'm pretty full on. So I think my daughters would tell you that. And I know my sons will when they're able to form sentences.
You doing any handyman stuff around the house? Thompson's building sinks.
I didn't build the sink. I put one in.
He's putting in a sink.
New laundry room, yeah.
Yeah, no, I have no desire to do any of that. Although I did work out in the yard on Saturday, which was it was a good feeling, and I cleaned this room we have outside and got the leaf blower out, and I did some stuff that I don't typically do, which I think it stunned my wife. I came in, I was sweaty, I was dirty, I had stuff under my perfectly manicured nails, and she was like, "What the hell's happened to you?"
Joe, when we had our house built, I had a couple of golf holes put into the basement, and for,
attaboy.
Yeah, but for a long time, I haven't been able to see them because we've had boxes on top of them, Christmas decorations that are boxed up. So that was my thing last weekend, is getting that all cleaned up. I've gone in and putted every single night, and my putting has not improved a lick.
Yeah, well, first of you missed an opportunity to video you getting the boxes off of it. I would have been happy to call play-by-play for that. And secondly, and most importantly, I know you're just hiding in the basement. That's the thing that I've done is with these kids, I've found new hiding spots in my own house where people can't find me unless they really, really look hard.
Good for you.
You got a panic room?
We kind of do, and we didn't build it, but we're in an old house that I think was built in the 50s and went through the Cold War, and there was some military guy that lived here. And we have a room that I don't even want to know what took place in this room, but it's like tucked into the back corner. It's all concrete, and there's a drain in the middle of the room.
Oh,
so I don't feel like the house is haunted, but if ever a house was going to be haunted with whatever could have theoretically happened down there, we don't go back there. It's barricaded off.
Maybe.
And I don't want to know what it was.
You might live in a murder castle.
It could be. Could be. That's probably why we got a great deal on it.
A deal's a
maybe.
Deal.
Yeah. Joe Buck, you're the best. Tell Michelle we said hi. Thanks so much for the time. Love what you're doing on Twitter, and be safe and have fun.
All right. You guys too.
You're the man.
See ya.
See you later. Bye. That is the great Joe Buck on 101 ESPN. There are many companies stepping up to the plate amid the coronavirus pandemic, but one company in New York is extending their efforts, pounding the pavement to make a change, and their social media presence has exploded because of it. That's next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.